You're listening to KTNA Talkeetna. And now for Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the northern Susitna Valley. Created by your friends and neighbors at Pothole Productions and Talkeetna Community Radio. From comic relief to serious beliefs, each week brings you a fresh nugget. I'm host Jenny Burr, and for tonight's nugget, we'll be exploring how our local youth connect to nature and technology. In 2005, author Richard Louv published the book Last Child in the Woods about how and why children are becoming increasingly disconnected from the natural world. He cited reasons such as disappearing open space, lack of time, stranger danger, community ordinances, and the allure of the indoors for the decreasing amount of time that children spend playing outside. As one fourth grader said, "I like to play indoors better because that's where all the electrical outlets are." Louv dubs this disconnect between children and the natural world as nature deficit disorder. He also speaks to the connection between physical and mental health and the amount of time kids spend outdoors. So how do the youth in the Upper Susitna Valley compare to those that Louv writes about? Are our children losing their connection to the natural world? Seemingly, we have more open space and less stranger danger than many places, but are the wonders of the indoor world outcompeting our great outdoors? To find out, Upper Susitna Youth Conservation Corps leader Emily Petuzal and I talked with local Youth Conservation Corps members and campers participating in the Denali Susitna Exploration Camp. When asked about their favorite ways to spend free time, youth between the ages of 11 and 17 shared the following. Their number one way to spend free time was hanging out or playing with friends. Second was playing on the computer or playing video games. Tied for third were reading books and snow machining. Tied for fourth were swimming, riding four-wheelers, and playing musical instruments. And tied for fifth were biking, art, and snowboarding. Their responses showed that they spent their free time both indoors and outdoors. In order to get a better sense of their connection to the indoor and outdoor worlds, we asked them how many days a week they spent time inside watching or playing some type of electronics, and how many days a week they spent time playing outside. On average, the kids said that they spent time watching TV, playing video games, or playing on the computer 3 to 4 days out of the week, and they spent time playing outside 6 days out of the week. With kids spending more days a week playing outdoors than indoors, are the Upper Susitna kids safe from the attention deficit disorder, obesity, and other health impacts suggested to be increasingly connected to the more sedentary electronic world inside? And is computer time a bad choice and nature time a good choice? We tend to think about using computers and spending time outside as generally mutually exclusive activities, but more and more it may be an unnecessary disconnect. Denali Susitna Exploration Camp was envisioned as a means of connecting youth to their local environment and engaging the participants using technology-infused learning when appropriate. Here, Christina Hum, one of the camp's founders, talks with Emily Petuzal about the role of technology in outdoor learning.
Just like anything, kids need ways to help explore a variety of environments, whether it's inside a building, cement, or out in the forest. Kids need methods or processes for going out and exploring that particular environment. So one of the ways we can help them is by providing technology. And by providing that technology and using it in a variety of ways, I think that will provide kids an extension of their senses to not only explore, but to document what they experience in that environment. The important concept when doing that, however, I think is making sure that the technology is something the kids are already familiar with, that it's something that they know how to operate, know how to use, and it becomes more of an extension of what they want to see or hear or explore. And it also can help a lot of kids who don't typically interact in an environment to really explore it in ways they never thought to explore it before. So those would be some really important ideas to include if you're incorporating technology in an outdoor or any variety of setting. But to not include it is almost like taking out a possibility or a way to experience it. So not that we shouldn't explore nature without it, but that we should include it at different points in time. So we're giving kids sort of a multiple or multi-sensory experience And to not include it would also be to not allow a child or an adult or anyone to continue forward and explore that concept of where our human race is headed. If we constantly deprive kids of the opportunity to explore technology, we're also taking them out of a context of where a lot of our society is heading. So in a way, it's not providing them that extra extension, that art, that reading, that writing. I would consider it just another piece of one of the learning skills we need to incorporate. And with that in mind, we need to actually learn all these skills and keep them in balance, just like we see in nature. We keep that in balance, and we can continue to learn from that balance and bring it back into the technology. And I think we might start to see a lot of that technology reflect nature and vice versa. So some pretty important concepts, but again, something we all need to kind of keep in focus and talk about and discuss and keep a balance for both those pieces together. Kids are exploring technology. It's not just computers. It's not just a digital camera. It's not a video camera. It's everything that we would use to better understand our environment or to gain more information from it, to share information about it, to utilize it in a different fashion, or a business might say a more efficient fashion. Either way, it's extending out our abilities and our skills one more step. And so it could be as simple as creating a new tool from a natural environment. That is technology. And all those components need to be explored, because that's what literally comes back into developing more complex technology. When we get into the high-tech physics, it's really coming back from our natural settings and how we've utilized our natural environment. So we need to keep that picture in mind. Technology is very broad. Even though we have a tendency to focus it on just computers or a camera, it's way beyond that. There's more to it than just that. Technology is not, it does not teach kids by itself. That's not what technology should be used for. Technology should be used as an extension to explore something further. If you want a kid to learn about a natural environment, you cannot give them a piece of software and say, here you go, learn about some birds. It doesn't cut it. The kids need to, learn about the birds and the software, but go out in a natural environment and try and remember what they heard, what they learned, and apply it. It's just an extender. It's not a solo thing. It can't be used solo.
You can't sit down at a game in front of a computer and learn about something.
No. It's one way, but it's not the only way. You got to get the rest of the pieces in place, and that's really critical. I'd even go so far as to say the Wii, Nintendo, and all those things that are coming out now, they're fine for utilizing some skills, but they're nothing compared to going out into the real world and applying them. We have to continue to come back into, the natural settings, the real world, the workplace, and apply those skills and see them in action. And that's critical. Software, computers, technology, it can't stand by itself. It needs to be integrated and used seamlessly.
In addition to utilizing technology to help kids connect with their environment, there also needs to be places set aside for kids to explore. Here, Emily Pechuzal shares her thoughts on the importance of open spaces.
Another important part is just having these spaces where young people can be outdoors and explore. It's absolutely critical. Any community that wants to maintain a healthy natural environment has got to instill that love of nature and that stewardship in kids from a very young age. And so you've got to have public policy and planning and design that is thoughtful about providing those spaces for young people. From my personal experience, I spent 5 summers as a teenager working as a camp counselor at a YMCA camp in Kentucky. And that camp was there because the senator set aside initially 100 acres that grew to 365 for a YMCA camp for kids to go and be outdoors in the summer. And I would not be the person who I was today if I hadn't been able to go to that camp. And part of it was leadership, and part of it was, I became more strong physically because of the activity I was doing. But I think most of it is I got to spend my summer outside with my peers. And it was the highlight of my summer every year. And I know for thousands of other kids, that camp, and I'm sure hundreds of other camps across the country, really are a huge highlight of their year and a very important part of their education and of their personal development. So I really feel very strongly we've got to provide those experiences and those spaces for young people.
Talkeetna Lakes Park is one of our community's resources for helping kids to connect to the outdoors. The Upper Susitna Youth Conservation Corps, or YCC, members have been working at Talkeetna Lakes Park on a variety of projects, including a cultural survey and a lake access trail. Half of the YCC members also served as teen leaders for the 2007 Denali Susitna Exploration Camp, helping younger campers to explore Talkeetna Lakes Park and synthesize their learning using various types of technology. Here, both the teen YCC leaders and the campers talk with Emily Pechuzal about their experiences at the park.
Hi, my name is Dana, and at camp, I learned that there are a lot of different plants here at Talkeetna Lakes Park.
Hi, my name is Chelsea, and at camp, I learned all about the native people in this area.
My name is Hannah, and I learned lots about the Nana and the plants around the lake.
Hi, my name is Maddie. This week, I learned about the plants at Talkeetna Lakes Park.
Hi, my name is Pip, and I learned about that the trout are eating the natural fish.
Hi, my name is Zachary. This week at camp, I learned that RX Lake is healthy.
I learned about some of the ancient Denainen stories and what was important to their culture.
Hi, my name is Forrest, and I learned a lot about the lifestyle of the Denainen.
I learned about the Denaina people and their culture that lived here in the Talkeetna Lakes Park.
Hi, my name is Jens, and I learned that I can use Adobe Illustrator.
Hi, my name is Bill, and I learned a lot about the Denaina and their culture.
My name's Mandy, and I learned that more than just the Denaina use this area.
Hi, my name is Ayla, and I learned about pH, temperature, and turbidity.
Hi, my name is Lily, and I learned about how the Denaina people lived.
Hi, my name is Ryan, and I learned how to be able to find old houses that the Denaina used to use.
I'm talking to Bill Kelly about creating a brochure for Talkeetna Lakes Park. Bill, what information did you put in this brochure?
We put a lot of information about the park, like the park's history, pictures around like wildlife, pictures of the lake, pictures of some of the youth and their activities involved in the community around here. And we made a quest also around the lake. We decided as a team and to group stuff together that we found around the lake, and we all like found pictures that would fit really well, and we found like sites that would go really well in the brochure, and we just decided as a group that we thought it'd work well.
Okay. And how did you make the brochure? What technology did you use?
We used cameras for pictures to around the lake and activities that we did, and we downloaded them on the computer, and we used like Photoshop and a bunch of other programs, and we did a lot of word processing and kind of putting stuff together on computers to put this brochure together. We worked really well as a team, I thought. There was a lot of pressure on us to get it finished under a certain amount of time, along with us doing all the other activities. But we managed to come together as a team and work well and get this project done.
So I am talking to Jens Timmers of the Youth Conservation Corps, or YCC, about building an access trail to X Lake. So Jens, tell me about the X Lake access trail.
Well, the access trail started out as just a, stomp-through trail that had already been there. But we decided that if what happens with trails is if you don't put gravel on it, then there's washout, and that trail just keeps on getting deeper and deeper, and it makes it uncomfortable to walk through, and it'll make water run through into the lake, and that makes the water quality be worse. So we just basically got a bunch of gravel, made the trail wider, and then we put the gravel in there. We started off by getting Pulaskis. We used Pulaskis to widen the trail, and we would cut off like part of turfs of the ground, and then we would rip those out and we would use them later if we could. And then we would make it level, and then make sure on the hill that was going down to the lake, we make sure that the water that would be coming from rainfall would fall into a place where it wouldn't damage the water. And then we put gravel on it. It was definitely hard work. You know, some people had to do a lot of Pulaski work, and some people had to do a lot of hauling. It took a good couple days. It was a really satisfying, you know, thing to do after you walk on it, after you're all finished with it. You know, it just feels better than what it was. Be like, I created this, and now I'm walking on it. It feels good.
So Brittany Langham is going to tell us about doing a cultural survey at Talkeetna Lakes Park with the Youth Conservation Corps.
During the cultural survey, we found 2 to 3 Dena'ina houses, and we also found one Asana with a couple Dena'ina houses around it and 2 to 3 cash pits. Fran Seigerboss and Dan Stone led the Youth Corps in finding the Dena'ina events and houses. We lined up in a really big line, and we walked through the woods, and we would stop whenever we found a dip that seemed like it was humanly made, like it was more of a square instead of just a tree flying over a hole. And then we did a dig to see if any of the soil was disturbed, like it wasn't layered. We used screens. After we would dig a little while, we would take the dirt that we dug and sift it through the screen and see if we found anything. In the Asana area, we found some rolled up birch, paper birch
bark.
Mm-hmm. And we found rocks.
You're listening to Nuggets on KTNA 88.9 FM. I'm Jenny Burr, and tonight we're exploring how youth connect to nature and technology. Ahead, youth participants in the 2007 Denali Susitnet Exploration Camp share highlights from the week they spent at Talkeetna Lakes Park.
Well, probably fishing with the sticks and the fishing line, because at first I used a little piece of pink flag and hooked it on my hook, and, well, the fish liked that, but then, and they were trying, didn't really go for it, but there was a leech in the boat, and that was on a hook. And so I used the leech, and they were trying to get it, except for the fact that the leech was as big as the fish.
So did anything finally work?
No.
And what kind of fish did you see?
I don't know. They were mini, like 1 inch long or 2 inches long.
I liked it when Patricia Wade came and told us all about the Otna, because before I was learning about the Dena'ina, and I didn't really know that, you know, there was any other tribes that usually lived here. And then when she came, it was like a whole other sort of thing, and it was really cool because
the Otna people?
Yes, because they lived here too.
My favorite thing that I did was canoeing, because it was really fun, and I liked when everybody else was paddling, but I wasn't. My favorite thing was learning about the Dena'ina and the Otna, because I'm from England and I didn't know about them before, and I thought that was really interesting. I liked listening to the stories that Patricia Wade told us, and seeing the house that
the
Dena'ina house. Yeah, it's cool.
So Nick Hogan is going to read from a brochure he made about the native people of Talkeetna Lakes Park.
Talkeetna Lakes Park, the Dena'ina and the Otna tribes. Thousands of years ago, two tribes named the Dena'ina and the Otna populated this park. To live back then, they had to hunt and build. They made and hunted with bows. They also hunted with traps. These traps were used to catch small animals. They also fished using poles made from wood and maybe small long roots. They probably also made fishing nets from tree branches. Foods they used to eat back then mainly consisted of meat and berries. Some of these meats were bear, moose, sheep, caribou, sometimes fox and rabbit. The fox and rabbit, their skin was also used to make clothes.
The berries consisted of blueberries, cranberries, high and low, watermelon berries, currants, and service berries. Some old jobs included medicine men, cookers, mothers and wives, hunters, and so on and so forth. Nowadays, we have washing machines, dishwashers, dryers, sinks, showers, baths. Another thing we have that they didn't is heaters. Think how long and hard each of these jobs are, and think of how strong the people had to have been. And this is wrapping up of my brochure. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Here in the Upper Susitna Valley, we are surrounded by large tracts of wild places, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the youth in our community automatically connect with the outdoors. Both nature and technology can be powerful conduits for learning. Utilizing technology as a means for engaging youth into a full exploration of place may be what's needed to help this generation of young people to forge a strong stewardship connection with the outdoors, improving their own health and the health of the planet in the process. Listening to Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the Northern Susitna Valley. Do you have a nugget you'd like to share? If you would like to host a show, be a guest on this program, or get involved in some other way, please call the station at 733-1700. You may also contact us through the website at ktna.org. Next week on Nuggets, host Sue Dio talks to Mike Loso, a geologist and climber, about the melting glaciers of Denali and what that has to do with the many years accumulation of human waste frozen inside.